Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 328 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How you doing? It's Drew Papsky along with Jeff and Doyle, and the season's finally over. We've been waiting for, 120 months for this to happen. It's over. It finally is. The Flyers finished their season with one more win than last season, which is great. That's improvement, right? Except for the fact that it was a shortened season. They finished 25-46-11, good for 61 points. Eighth in the Metro. As of this recording, they are fourth in the whole league from the bottom, that is. They're hoping the Kraken win this afternoon as we're recording this on Sunday, May 1st. That way we can go down to that third spot and get a better chance as a draft pick. So, Jeff and Doyle, how happy are we that this is over?
I feel like, you know, you're happy that it's over, but then within like 2 weeks, you're going to be upset that there's no more Flyers hockey.
Yeah, hold on. My dog is chewing a toy. Hey, asshole, go over there. Go. Sorry. Can you guys hear that in your ears? I just hear this chewing noise.
Drew is on something today.
I'm pissed today. I'm very pissed. Everything's happening, but
Drew's
it's fine.
Drew's reacting to his dog right now, chewing on a toy. Like, your dog, like, ever just, like, lick their leg for way too long?
Yeah, it's like, all right, dude, have
all
enough.
All right, enough.
It's like, dude, like, fuck it. It's not family style. Like, relax. Take a break. But yeah, the Flyers finished eighth in the Metro, and now here we are. So I actually took some time to watch the final game on Friday, and as the game ended, I'm like, why the hell did I spend my Friday night doing this? Like, what? Well, you have a podcast, Drew. We didn't have the episode last week. You're going to sit there and watch it. You're going to do an episode. I did.
Act like you've been following along.
Yeah, you act like you've been following along the whole time. Like, dude, I'm honest. First of all, before I even get into that, I do want to extend a sincere thank you to everyone that's been listening this whole season. It has been rough. We've been here with you, and I thank you guys.
Two seasons of awfulness.
Yes, true. The season's been over before it even began in many ways last season, but also this year. But I want to thank you guys for sticking along with us. I know it has not been exactly the easiest season. Believe me, it's been hard to turn the microphones on and do this every week or took a couple weeks off. But
Drew was actually dreading this episode because he just wants to go to the bar right now.
Well, can you blame me? Can you blame me? Because, Doyle, I'm going to go to the R tail of the tape. I'm going to do this for you right now.
R tail of the tape. Is that guy still announcing MMA?
I'm not sure.
Because he was the best.
Bruce Buffer?
No, Mike something.
Oh, the guy that would do like the production, yeah.
Here we go. That guy.
I'm not sure, but before we get into the exit interviews and locker cleanout, before we get into what we learned this season.
Jeff just leaves the camera.
Before, what I do want to get into is a very important thing, and that is a time-honored tradition of I told you so, because we're the BSP podcast, we know a lot about hockey. I just want to show you how much we know about hockey, guys. You guys ready for this? We made season predictions back in October.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, I just want to go through right now. The Flyers, just for reference, if you didn't hear what I said a few minutes ago before I was yelling at my goddamn dog, stop chewing, Cal. 25-46-11. Good for 61 points.
Not the worst season.
Not the worst season of franchise history, but
definitely
also
not the best.
The worst in the history of this podcast, which is a lot. I've been doing this for way too long. They won a fucking championship. The Flyers. We predicted them. Starting with me, why not? Drew said that 98 points, third in the Metro. A little 5 points off, not bad from the Metro position. Jeff said 40-25-17, good for 97 points, third in the Metro. Doyle said 96 points, third in the Metro. How'd the Flyers stack up?
Ew.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
not even close. it gets even better. Here we go. This is back from October. Our breakout players of the year. I picked Carter Hart. Jeff picked Joel Farabee. Not a bad pick. Doyle picked Ristolainen. Breakout to win a contract.
Yeah,
yes.
He did. He broke out something.
I mean, hey, listen, we all had pretty good picks, actually. I mean, for different reasons, but we all had pretty good picks. And now I get to the MVP, and this is where you guys want to grab your tissues.
And not
happy tissues. For MVP, Drew picked Claude Giroux instead of Doyle.
Yikes.
Because he would have won the MVP. If you know, he was still on the team.
Yeah, the MVP award is tainted this year because he's not. He didn't win it.
And Jeff picked Carter Hart, which surprisingly, he did not win the Flyers team MVP. The Flyers announced their awards online the other day because he realized no one would care if they announced it during the game.
He probably should have, to be honest.
Carter Hart did not win it. Cam Atkinson won it. Kind of interesting. Not sure about that.
Injured,
but whatever.
Injured Cam Atkinson.
I like Cam Atkinson a lot. I think he was a great addition to this franchise. You know, if everything else worked out, people were healthy. But I thought Carter Hart should have won that because he kept us in a lot of games early on. We still were smoking that crack and thought the Flyers could make the playoffs. Remember how we were like, just get through these injuries. Ellis will be back. Coots will be back.
Yeah, Ellis and Hayes. We just got to wait till Ellis and Hayes get healthy.
Like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. It was Ellis and Hayes and Coots got injured. And then yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, this is how much I don't care about this team right now. Speaking of which, guys, what'd you learn?
They're not really given a lot to look forward to either.
It was the best of times. It was the worst times. Actually, it was just the worst of times. We got to see a lot of younger players play. We got to see Bobby Brink finally make his NHL debut. Ronnie Attard. We got to see Cam York get some extended looks at the NHL level. We got to see Noah Cates. I mean, if you like that stuff, great, because I'm pretty sure it's going to happen again next season. It's going to be this again.
I don't know, man. There's a bias for action. There's a blank check.
Keep signing people.
What other buzzwords were said in that interview?
So we could just sign a bunch of people and
we're aggressively retooling.
Be the 10th or 11th worst team in the league and get a lesser draft pick and spend that money and be in cap heck for more years.
Well,
that sounds
good
just to me.
It's the Philadelphia Flyers. They don't want to rebuild. Rebuilding is like not a part of their image across the history of the franchise. So it's just put Band-Aids and try and quick fix everything to always be competitive.
That sounds toxic. If a girl told me she's just not in a rebuild and just wants to like keep her image up, I'd be like, yeah, you're done. Right? Dating, am I right?
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. I just want to look at somebody. I don't look at myself mirror. It's a hard life doing this right now, people. My dog stopped chewing. Thank God you slept. She drank the NyQuil. So looking back at this season, we obviously before we even get into this, actually, I want to bring this up. Last week, we got to have our Xfinity Live return. That was great. There was nobody there at all.
No, it was dead.
There was more workers than people. And
we're not just talking about to see us.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like every year, we've always had some random person be like, hey, man, I heard you guys are going to be here. I just want to stop by, say hello. I'm here for a Phillies or a Flyers game. Like, what up? And Joe the Rat hung out with us, and I want to thank you to our some of our fans, Steph and Alicia, for coming out, hanging out with us. But overall, it was desolate there. I don't know if that's because of COVID or because the Flyers.
Broad Street Bullies Bar.
They were like, we're closing. I'm like, it's 4 o'clock.
They actively closed a bar we were drinking in.
It was like 6 p.m. They're like, yeah, we're shutting this down.
And I was like, okay, no problem, I guess. And there was just nobody there. There was more people there for the Phillies game beforehand than there was for the Flyers game after. It was just bad.
Yeah, the Flyers game wasn't even on the main TV. It was
NBA basketball
on. Yeah,
yeah, not the Sixers NBA basketball.
Yeah,
the Flyers got relegated.
The Denver Nuggets
the small TV on the left.
Yeah, the small shitty TV
where people were actually betting money and caring and watching and not worrying about like, oh, I guess they're just going to like suck forever because we're in the playoffs. So
they actually won that game though.
Not the Flyers. Oh wait,
no, they did.
I thought you meant like the Nuggets. I'm like, no, not the Flyers.
Oh no, yeah, the Flyers won that game.
In dominating fashion too, like 4-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and then they beat the Penguins, thank God, which was great, except for the fact that we could have had them lose that game,
and they'd have better chances.
Yeah,
better
so pick, we have to hope the Kraken win when they start. They have puck drop in about 20 minutes our time right now. So if you listen to us on Monday, you already know the answer. But the Flyers are trying to improve their odds ever so slightly to place into that top one or two.
Oh,
spot.
I do have a new conspiracy theory.
Oh boy.
I was telling this
Let's
to Joe.
Let's get into it before we get to what we learned.
Joe
the Rat, he was wearing a full Panthers jersey.
A full Claude Giroux jersey.
God love Joe the Rat for sticking to it. Like, I'm just going to wear a full Panthers Claude Giroux jersey out to Xfinity. And no one cared because no one was there, actually. And that was by far, it was almost cathartic being like, this is the end of the season. Thanks for coming, Joe. Have a beer with him. And then we're done. But what's your conspiracy theory? Go ahead.
So my conspiracy theory is, since the Flyers are like a huge cash cow for the NHL as far as just like overall money making goes, and like this season, like ticket sales have been dwindling, attendance has been dwindling, they've been terrible to watch. So they're obviously like a negative for the NHL right now. So I'm thinking that the conspiracy theory is they're so bad that like Gary Bettman's going to award them the first overall pick this year to be like, all right, get some asses back in that seat so you can make some more money for us again, you fucking idiots.
I love this. I think this is a fair one. It's a good conspiracy theory. I think we should do it. First overall pick, Jeff, thoughts?
I would like Gary Bettman to influence.
Gary Bettman.
Yeah.
Gary Bettman. I would like Bettman to influence next year's draft and hand us the first overall pick when there's a touted generational talent.
What do you mean? You don't think
Shane Wright's a great prospect, Jeff?
Apparently, everybody's saying Connor Bedard is the next generational talent to come out since McDavid. So you're saying
that the Flyers tanked in the wrong season yet again?
I wouldn't say that for sure, but it looks that way on the surface.
I would say the Flyers will play the young kids again next year and be slightly better, but still suck.
The plan is to not do that, though. Unless they just say that they're going to ignore the message they've put out all this season.
But why would you just sign a bunch of people and not build the actual team?
Because they're idiots. That's what they like.
Like, their team MVP was Claude Giroux.
Their message was, we do not want to miss the playoffs and look this terrible again, so we're just going to throw money at all of our problems instead of actually trying to build a team.
That is exactly like waking up on a Sunday morning saying, I don't want to feel this terrible right now, so I want to keep drinking. And then you just say, know what? I don't want to feel this way. And you keep drinking and you feel better, but in the end of the day.
I mean, a lot of people miss Ed Snyder, and that's like the Ed Snyder way.
Yes.
So
in the pre-salary cap era, yeah. Sure.
If you want to be upset about that, sure. But then, you know, that's like what Ed Snyder did was, we're always going to be competitive. We'll always do whatever it takes to be competitive and be in the mix to try and win a cup every year.
Yeah, kick that can down the road. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Ed Snyder loved throwing money at things. He threw money at Ilya Bryzgalov and ran Sergei Bobrovsky out of town. So,
yeah, well,
you know,
the Flyers haven't been able to figure out the salary cap since it was instituted, and that leads us to where we are right
But no,
now.
We did figure out how to, like, circumvent all the salary cap and, like, trade an active player who retired, and then also
put people
trade
on LTIR
contracts,
so their cap
guys with spinal or knee injuries on LTIR and work it.
The Flyers are the spiritual successors to the Tampa Bay Lightning in Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, we did it first before it was cool. We didn't win championships, though, so I guess we messed up.
Well, Vegas is missing the playoffs, so they did all sorts of circumventing the cap this year.
For nothing. It was all for naught. So what I want to talk about right now is what did we learn this year? And I'm going to start it off because why not? So while watching Game 82, which was the first game I probably watched since Game 35, I'm just kidding, but probably accurate, more accurate than not.
not really a joke, but kind of.
So watching the game, the Flyers scored on the 5-on-3, the two-man advantage.
Oh, my God.
They scored, and they also had a power play goal earlier in the game. And this was the first time they'd scored two power play goals in the game since December. This was also the first time the Flyers have scored a 5-on-3 goal all season. It's up until Game 82.
Oh, I thought you were going to say since, like, 2019.
No. Well, honestly, Doyle, I'm surprised.
It feels that way.
I'm surprised they scored one last year. But to be honest, though, the fact that a team could only... We were up 5-on-3 quite a few times this season. I don't have the exact number in front of me. The fact that it took until Game 82 for that to happen just shows you right there what kind of season we had. The Flyers finished with the league's worst power play at 12.6%.
Yikes.
If you had terminal cancer and you got those odds, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm awful. That's what the Flyers' power play was like. It was awful. And the Flyers
terminal also on hospice.
That was like last year, it was like one of the last games of the season, they finally got a shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because their penalty kill was 26, 75.7%.
Yeah, good.
Minus 87 goal differential. It just shows you where this team was at. And, like, Jim Jackson made a comment while watching, going, like, hey, the Flyers haven't really done well with empty net pulling the goalie. They've been down in games, have been close, but they haven't been able to finish. It's like, yeah, because, like, they're, like, just not good enough in so many areas. They don't stack up. And this power play, for all the talent it was supposed to have, really just this year bottomed out worse than – I mean, I thought the last few years was kind of inconsistent and bad, but at least they would score sometimes. 12.6%, like, can you believe that? That's awful.
Yeah.
And, like, a power play, like, yes, the Flyers have had more skill in the lineup in a couple years before this, but overall, you don't need a really skilled power play to score. You just need a good system. It's getting bodies in the net and shooting. Am I wrong for thinking this, or am I simplifying it? I just don't think that just shows
it's all
you,
about
like,
puck movement. And they, for some reason, always just rely on the umbrella. Like, I feel like every time they try to change it, they
we
change
got rid
it
of
for
Voracek.
Like a game or two, and then it always just goes back to the same old thing.
Yeah, we got rid of Voracek, and the umbrella still came back. I was very perplexed by that.
And
that's
everybody just stands still. So, like, nobody's moving. Everybody's stationary.
Yeah, it's a power play. You got to work. You get to sit there and accept it.
Nobody, there's no bodies moving out of lanes.
I know we're going to get to exit interviews, but Cam Atkinson talked about the power play struggle, so I think it's relevant here to bring it up. And he said,
objection, Your Honor. Just kidding.
even when G was here, that guy's arguably one of the best power play guys that ever played. We still struggled. It's not a coaching thing. It's a player personnel thing. And we couldn't just figure out for whatever reason. Even bringing in a new coach, trying new things in a different language, it just wasn't working for whatever reason. And that's on us. We sure as hell didn't win any games with our power play this year.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah, you can't argue that.
That's why I gave him MVP
A lot of. But a lot of players said the same thing, and it's like, okay, so Chuck Fletcher went out, cleaned house last year, brought in a whole bunch of new, I guess, quote-unquote, team leaders, and then they still ran into the same problems they had when they didn't have these team leaders. So, like, why can't players execute? Why can't players follow a system? Like, what is it? Why is it happening?
It's the water in Philadelphia. That's what it has to be.
It's the curse of Kate Smith.
Must be what it is.
The ghost is floating around their rafters making pucks bounce.
Ooh. Doyle, what did you learn this season? What did you learn that did you learn like me that your prediction was way off? Because I think we all learned that. That was what you called the cold lotion right there on you. It hurts.
Yeah. I learned that unless like some serious things change, that it is not going to be good for a pretty decent amount of time here.
That's great. Can't wait to talk about this team for the rest of the summer and next fall. Oh my God.
You make a good point, and that's like, so everybody is this Twitter has this idea that like the Flyers are going to trade away everybody who stinks and magically get better this offseason.
Revamp the whole team with trade. No one ever does that ever.
But it's like, where are they going to go? Nobody wants Kevin Hayes' contract. Like
07-08.
Yeah, like you're kind of stuck with Hayes' contract. You're stuck with Ellis' contract. Kootz's contract is going to kick in. Like that's
07-08 worked because the Flyers had a Phantoms team that just won the Calder Cup a couple years prior, and they were able to use those guys like R.J. Umberger and Jeff Carter and Mike Richards and move them up. They also had
Signed Briere.
They signed Briere.
Trade for Hartnell and Kimmo Timonen.
Yes.
So those are like three huge pieces.
But
right
also,
there, right?
You're missing the part where the farm system produced two top nine centers.
Well, they also tried to do this last offseason.
Yes.
And it blew up in their face.
So what you're saying is we're going to do it again.
That's what their message is we're going to do exactly what we did this past offseason. Hopefully this time it doesn't blow up in our face.
Doyle,
there's no way this will fail twice.
Yeah.
Doyle, ask me if I like that idea.
I don't want to.
Ask me if I like it, Doyle. Go ahead.
No. Okay. What sound drop do you have prepared?
I don't have any sound drop.
I don't trust you. It stinks and I don't like it.
No. Yeah. No, I wasn't going to do that, actually. I just wanted to hear you guys ask me that. But it's fine. They'll never know. Let the listeners gasp and wonder, like, oh, my God, I can't believe we didn't have an episode last week. This is gold. And our website doesn't even work. What happened?
That was a secret. You don't tell them that.
I don't care.
There's a possibility the website hasn't worked in months.
No, it definitely worked like at least 3.5 weeks ago. What the hell's going on? Our website's like the Flyers farm system. It doesn't work.
Depleted in a mess.
Jeff, what'd you learn this season? Besides the fact that you need a haircut more than ever.
I learned that I didn't think it was possible, but I could actually care less about this team.
Is that what happens when you wear a headband? Is that what happens? Is it just changes your mindset?
I'm channeling my Andre Agassi.
You couldn't even play badminton half as well as he ties his shoes.
I will ruin you in pickleball.
I'm a great pickleball player. Are you kidding me?
Kick you right in the hip.
All right, listen. That's a little blow.
Roundhouse your ass.
My backhand backspin on my pickleball paddle is godsend, and it makes singers blow out ACLs left and right every time I play. So how about you take that slander elsewhere, you bigot?
Drew's playing in the age above bracket because of how old he looks.
how old my degenerative hip disease is. I got Ray Emery.
This guy looks like he's like 45. Yeah, he could play with us.
Yeah, it's fine.
Grandparents to the left, sir.
Can't go cross crease like Ray Emery. It's fine. Just my hips keeps falling apart every time. It sucks. Yeah, all right, PBB well. Girl. So, Jeff, I'm with you on that. I also learned I couldn't care about the team because I'd much rather not watch ever.
So,
well, I mean,
the fact that I was like watching a Phillies opening day weekend more than the Flyers in April just tells you everything you need to know about how I feel about the team because I'm like, oh, it's opening day, game two of 162. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, there were times when, like, the Flyers game would be on, and it's like in past years, you know, I'd be there 5 minutes before on Sportsnet. I'm waiting for the puck drop, and now it's like I'll be watching Netflix. And I'm like, and it's like 8:30. I'm like, oh, the Flyers are on.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like, just put it on and do
and
something else.
That, to me, is the worst part about it because I used to, like, I don't want to say plan my week, but I knew when the Flyers were playing, and there were certain things in my schedule when I'd fit in and be like, oh, yeah, I'll do this time. I'll do that tomorrow because Flyers are playing Wednesday. I would actually do that. There used to be years ago I would not go to open mics and work on my comedy and just not do that to watch the Flyers. This year I'm like, oh, wait. There's my nails being ripped off, tortured by the CIA to train for a black site. I want to go to that instead of watching the Flyers. That's what I want to do. It's astounding how much my apathy level, like, it's like a Nirvana song. It's awful.
Well, they keep saying, too, like,
my finger hurts. It hurts so bad. I just can't do it.
Well, they keep pushing this whole thing of, like, oh, we're going to aggressively retool. And then, like we just said, how many contracts there are that are, like, too big? How many contracts are kicking in that are big? So it's like, who are you going to move off of this team to try and aggressively retool?
Ivan Provorov.
Yeah, that'll be a great trade.
James Van Riemsdyk.
Ivan Provorov's going to go somewhere else and be, like, a stud top-pairing defenseman.
Yeah, like, you can buy out, like, or try and, like, trade JVR to someone who needs to get to the cap floor or whatever, but... So then from there, like, where do you go? Do you sign 29-year-old Jonathan Hockey?
Yes. That's how you sell tickets, Doyle, because Gritty can't sell the tickets himself.
Or do you sign Nazem Kadri to a seven-year contract?
No.
I mean, Johnny Hockey would be a good signing in that they would finally have a scoring winger. But then,
how many other
all that
issues
money,
does that
right,
open up?
Right, you've tied up all that money that could be used to fix other problems the team has. So,
as soon as Drew leaves, they get a scoring winger. Sounds great.
We can all put to bed that Claude Drew is definitely not coming back next season, right?
I never really thought he was. Honestly.
Nobody thinks that anymore.
Oh no.
He's like, oh my God, this is what a hockey team looks like. What is this?
I've had one of these
in like 10 years.
One of the Florida beat writers said Claude Giroux is now, I think, the first player to be on a 10-game losing streak with one team and then a 10-game win streak with another team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In the same season.
That is a lot of things to add to his resume.
Yeah, they were.
I always told you, he's the man.
If you really want to get technical, there's two 10-game losing streaks in there. So
they almost went on three.
Yeah, they were close to three before he got traded.
The fact we're still talking about this team right now just boggles my mind.
I don't know. There's, like, not a lot of excitement. Like, you know how, like, usually, like, if the team was bad and they, like, just missed the playoffs, you're, like, kind of excited going into the offseason. Like, all right, like, what can they do to, like, get to the next step next season?
Because guys like Travis Konecny and Ivan Provorov and et cetera will take the next step. We've been
we've
been doing this for seven seasons now.
Now it's just, like, not there, and it's, like, what else are they going to do that's just going to make this team worse?
We're going to
going to make it better.
So in my perspective, the best thing for this team to do is hold steady and play the young kids next year. Maybe fill some cheap signings to fill out the roster and, like, add some depth. And you play next year, and you know the fact that, like, we're going to evaluate what we have. Next year is an evaluation year. In my mind, that is the smartest way to go about it because you hope you get a good draft pick out of it, and you also get to evaluate some talent and give them some real NHL minutes as opposed to signing some big-name free agent or two and tying up money and getting yourself more of a problem where you might also finish a little higher in the standings, but you also get less of a draft pick and you can't really evaluate your talent. And they're saying, oh, this guy's still good. He doesn't play much. Am I crazy for thinking that? I think we have to do that because how else are we going to rebuild?
It's not the Flyers' way, though. We're the Flyers. We don't rebuild.
I get that, and I always prided myself on that as a fan. As I was growing up, like, oh, we always make the playoffs. We're in it. But, like, we don't have We just lost our franchise player with a trade.
And you didn't. You replaced him with Owen Tippett.
Yeah, and like Owen Tippett, like, is fine. Yeah, like, I don't know how it's going to like turn out. But yeah, he's not like. I mean, like, whatever. I like some parts of his game for, like, honestly, the little I've watched the last few weeks. But I would like to see him more next year and be excited about, like, hey, next year is a see-what-we-got year. Let's see what they can do. Maybe they'll surprise people, like what Ottawa did this year or, like, what New Jersey has done for, like, the last 5 years. But regardless, like, I don't know. I think we need to do that and, like, actually build the right way as opposed to doing the, quote, Flyers way, because the Flyers way hasn't worked since the last gas crisis and inflation crisis in the 70s.
Oh, my God.
Unless we're going to magically go back to an old NHL rule book from 1974, we ain't winning a cup with this roster, and that's fine. Yeah. We got
to
move.
The Flyers are going to have to build from within, because after the way the inept front office treated Keith Yandle, no free agents are going to want to sign here ever again. So,
well, Keith Yandle's retiring, Keith I think, right?
Yeah, they spit on that's. He hasn't officially announced it, but the assumption is that.
Yeah,
the only thing they got going for him is Kevin Hayes is friends with Jonathan Hockey.
Well, yeah. Kevin Hayes is the great equalizer. Although I still think what they did to Keith Yandle was stupid. They knew he was going to eventually play at one point. Just let him play out. We're not playing for nothing. Bench somebody else. Like,
well, the worst part, I mean, we've said this before, but the worst part was that they were like, we want to play the kids. And then I think it was like a game or two, and they were like, Keith, you're back in the lineup.
Yeah, it's just so stupid to
we
me.
Wanna
like,
evaluate,
like they
we
want to
evaluate 29-year-old Nick Seeler.
Well, the young guy, Jerry Mayhew, they got rid of him too. He was a young stud, only 19 years old, plus 10, playing in the bottom of the lineup.
Nick Seeler on locker cleanout day said he hopes to return to the team. He really likes it here.
The Flyers really fell downhill, though, news. When they waived Nick Obkubel, let's be honest. They got that grit and sandpaper out of the lineup.
I mean, that's a career trajectory I did not see coming.
The fact that he plays on the Avalanche actually in their starting lineup and scores, I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot. Sometimes we actually have players on the bottom line that can play on our team. Because for many years it was like, Pierre-Edouard Belmar and like Vandevelde and all these guys. It's like, oh wait, Belmar can play a little bit on the Knights, but everyone else is like, last team played for Flyers, age 24 and a half, and it's always awful. It's like, oh yeah, I guess they can't play anywhere else.
It's wild, and I don't understand it. But there's a lot of players like, in the exit interviews yesterday, the general trend was it's not like a coach, it's not the system, it's not the organization, it's the player that's not executing. It was injuries, whatever, but. There's so many players who left the Flyers and then became markedly better to the point where you were like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah. I don't. I think it's because it's just the team has not been built correctly. It hasn't. This team has not actually looked like they're dangerous since they exited the second round in Game 7 versus the Islanders.
And even then, that was like...
They were hanging on by a thread every game of that series. Yeah. They were having trouble depositing the Canadiens back to the fucking basement. As the, quote, one seed because they won that play-in tournament at the bubble. And before that, before COVID actually happened, the Flyers were the hottest team in the league, and they looked great. They were looking – all year they looked great. They came out hot on that little road trip out of Czechoslovakia, whatever the hell it was, Czech Republic.
Yeah, they had a bit of a dip going out west in, like, the beginning of the year.
Which they always have, but they bounced back, and Vigneault seemed to, like, have a pulse of the team. They had some young guys filling in the bottom ranks, and, like, it was working, and then it wasn't. And then, like, they put it together and, like, went on a little bit of a playoff run. But, like, they haven't looked the same since. They haven't looked dangerous since. They haven't looked dangerous since probably, like, I don't know, one of the games in the Canadian series. They haven't looked like a team to beat at all. That's a shame.
Like, yeah, it's really...
And, like, how do you fix it? Because fired a bunch of coaches. Like, firing the GM, I guess, sends a message, but it doesn't fix the product on the ice. Like... you can't, like, firing a GM doesn't make players execute. So, like, I don't know.
Well, a lot of people are blaming Chuck Fletcher. And when I say a lot of people, I mean just from, like, certain internet, little circles I'm in. People are talking about Chuck Fletcher acting like it's all his fault. I still stand by the fact that I think Chuck Fletcher had a great offseason and did a great job in trying to retool this team to where it needed to be. It just fell, obviously, short mostly because of injuries, in my opinion. I don't know. I think Chuck Fletcher may be fired at one point, maybe not this year, but next year because of it's a casualty of the position. But I also don't see all the blame falling on him at all. I can't see that happening.
We dumped on Chuck Fletcher a lot when he re-signed Ristolainen, but now after Ellis spoke at the exit interviews in the Flyers, basically like they looked at Ellis for like the entire season and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And it took like multiple doctors and multiple opinions and multiple like scans to go through. So if you're Chuck Fletcher and you're in the middle of the season and you have your top defenseman, quote unquote, never like you're not sure if he's going to play again because they can't figure out what the hell's wrong with him, then it makes sense now that they gave Ristolainen as much money as they did. I don't like it, but it makes sense.
Well, it's the market. He would have got overpaid somewhere else if he tested the free agent market.
But they needed it. In the event that Ellis never came back, they didn't figure, like, it looks like they figured out what his injury is and now they can work towards fixing it. But before, like, recently, they had no idea if Ellis was ever going to play again. And then if you don't sign Ristolainen, and like, who do you replace him and Ellis with? Then you have an even bigger problem than you already have.
It could be worse. Could have a broken finger and doing a podcast on a Sunday. It should be the bar.
You could miss a whole season with a pelvic floor injury, or you could get a boo-boo on your finger when you're playing intramural
softball. I have both.
I don't care of the situation. I still can't stand Ristolainen signing.
Doyle
with
is
or without
with
Ellis.
Is there anything else from the exit interviews, Jeff, that you thought would be worth of note since you were able to watch them and, you know?
Well, Ellis also addressed the whole, like,
he hates it here.
Yeah, he hates it here. Never wanted to came here. He never wanted to be here.
And he was like, I like it here. I want to play here.
Yeah.
Next question.
Thank you for that lead-in. So Ellis was asked if he was worried that the team wouldn't figure out his injury and what his future, I guess, would be in Philly. And he said, there have been some really low points for me this year. Nothing to do with the team. Nothing to do with anything more than just my health and finding someone that can point me in the right direction. It's been frustrating in that sense. And like I've said, now we've got a plan. It's just about putting it all together.
Yeah, what's the plan?
They're going to fix something. But he said that his family loves it here. Like, he lives in Haddonfield, and it's been great, and he has nothing bad to say about the team. So now, like, if I'm Ryan Ellis,
company
I don't know
line.
The Flyers. Like, I don't know the Flyers anything, right? So if he was shilling for the company, like, why would he be shilling for the company? So if he actually doesn't hate the team, and a bunch of beat writers made up unnamed sources saying that he hates the team, that's kind of an asshole move. So,
well, it's also like, yeah, like, he didn't have to talk to the press yesterday. He could have just been like,
Keith
Yandel fuck off. Yeah, Keith Yandel didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Keith Yandel probably would have just got asked 100 times, like, how does it feel to have your streak ended by getting benched for, like, the 400th time?
Did you come to Philadelphia? Did you have any kind of thing in mind, like a verbal or written agreement to play out your Iron Man streak? Next question. Sam Cartiti? Yeah, just wondering. Did you ever think about stripping the C from Giroux and putting on your own jersey just in case you thought you were better captain because you know, your years in the league and your veteran status?
I'm not sure who asked the question, but somebody asked Couturier about potentially being named captain. And I was like, that sounds like a Sam Cricchetti question.
That is just like...
Couturier did an interview? That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Coots did his exit interview. So he was asked about how he felt about potentially being named captain. And all he said was, it would be an honor, but it's not something I'm really focused on or what I'm trying to be. Whether I am or not, I'm still going to be the same person, the same player I always am, and try to lead by example.
And that's hurt,
guys,
you little bitch.
Share the experiences.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, he better not be captain. He's not vocal enough.
Yeah. I was reading all the interview questions.
He hasn't shown enough
emotion
on the bench.
You can tell, like, I don't know who asked the questions, but you can tell, like, what articles they were writing because it was all along the same vein. It was like, how upset are you about losing? Who should be the captain? Do you think they need to fire coaches?
That's why, like, I don't know. A lot of people were pissed off about what Ivan Provorov said, but I kind of understand where he was coming from. Probably not the best way to address it, but when you look at, like you just said, everybody has, like, a narrative that they're trying to write when they ask questions, so I kind of get why he was, like, annoyed.
Well, let's go over what he said, because people may not understand.
I love it.
It happened
what
on Saturday
said,
morning, what? Afternoon, so people probably don't know what's going on.
They asked asked him how he would evaluate his season, so how Provorov would evaluate how he played. And
self-grading.
I mean, no matter what I say, you guys are going to give me your own grades. It doesn't matter. You're all experts in hockey, so you're going to give me your all super experienced grades. I don't think my opinion matters too much to you guys.
And that was Jake Voracek with his hand up Provorov's ass, using him like Jeff Dunham uses puppets and talking for him.
I mean, but it's true.
He's
like,
not wrong.
No, he absolutely is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
but he, you know, it's not a good look.
Not good bedside manner.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's he gonna say? I had a rough February and March. I was turning pucks over a lot, and I wasn't playing great.
Yeah, fucking sucked. Like, what do you want to hear?
He turned a puck over that led directly to a goal in the final game of the season, the game-winning goal.
And beat writers are gonna say it, and like Somebody asked Konechny about his name popping up in trade rumors, and Konechny was like, I don't have social media, so this is news to me. Like, what are you talking about? So
Wait, you were saying?
Why? What are you doing?
I was breathing.
I was breathing.
Everyone heard your voice crack. You're like, Mike.
I was trying to play it cool, and nobody would have noticed.
I did play it cool. I was like, the Doyle off of Mike. I went, Mike. Listen, I'm just drinking my teas, trying to have a good
cool.
Sunday.
You looked at him and didn't say anything. It wasn't playing it cool.
No, I said something. He just couldn't hear it. I was off mic.
He was off mic.
Doyle, I mean, Jeff, it's called mic professionalism. You should learn something about it. It's called not have your voice crack into the mic.
All right, idiot. Johnny sneezes into the mic.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Way out of line.
Who's the cap casualty as far as trades go? Ivan Provorov or Travis Konecny?
Oscar Lindblom.
Excluding Lindblom and JVR, because those are the two obvious ones. Nobody really cares about
Konecny or Provorov.
Everybody
we've been talking about these guys.
Konecny and Provorov out
now. We've been talking about those guys stepping up for years, and I think they are still decent players, but I think I could trade one or both of them.
Well, I think also, my opinion on Ivan Provorov is, unless they are like completely blown away by an offer, they went out, got Ryan Ellis, they looked good together for the short period of time, really want to see them play together before they decide to just blow them up.
Yeah, there should be no hurry. I agree with you. There's no hurry to get rid of him. But if you get an offer, it's like, offer you can't refuse.
If you get Mitchell Marner in a package for Ivan Provorov and whatever the hell else, I mean,
sure, why not? Well, you have a gun behind
Provorov
the toilet, Mikey.
We're going to be in the Mitch Marner one. I think it's harder to replace a defenseman, though. So just from
you got
that,
Rasmus
I would trade Konecny first.
Whole,
I had to.
That's why
I
resigned.
Have you seen R. Attard play lately? He's pretty fucking good. So,
I mean, he's been better at the NHL level than I expected.
He has
a
shot.
He still needs to polish some
and
of
Cam
games.
York, when he's like, not being a little like crybaby, he's pretty good too. You probably heard his
well,
finger
Cam
as well.
York got a hairline fracture in his foot blocking an Ovechkin shot on the penalty kill. That's why he missed the rest.
Sounds like a hairline fracture in his finger. Look how fat it is.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, dude.
It's pretty gross, yeah. I think I'm dying.
So, Cam York's
finish the
foot fracture.
Guys, I've hurt finger. I can't finish the podcast. It requires my lungs and my voice my vocal cords.
I can't click the soundboard.
Dude, every click hurts. It's like, I'm not even looking up stats anymore. I'm like,
why don't you just use your middle finger?
Oh, yeah, I got one for you right here. Do I? How about that, huh? Huh?
Just use a different finger.
Oh, yeah.
Just do
not. Not the first time you told me that.
It's this time of year that guys have to play hurt, Drew, remember?
Yeah, this time of year. Time of year. The Flyers would be in the almost a third round of the playoffs right now if they were actually playing a real season. It's still real to me, damn it.
I think it was Cam Atkinson who was like, oh, yeah, I needed to be shut down. Like, my injuries got really bad. And they were like, what if the Flyers had made the playoffs? He's like, I probably still would have been
playing. Yeah, you know. Like,
That's what they said about Ellis in like, the beginning of the season where they were like, he's like, yeah, he has something wrong with him, but if it was the playoffs, he'd be playing. I'm like, what? And they missed like the next 6 months, basically.
Yeah, and they didn't even figure out what was wrong with him until like month number five. So, whoops.
Whatever. It happens.
So, going back to what Cam Atkinson said, he referenced one John Tortorella.
Oh. A perfect coach to add to this team that's ready to win right now.
Yeah. So do we think that John Tortorella, since the Flyers are going to be in win now mode, even though they don't really have the
they can't even win yesterday. Yeah. Win now.
They're win now mode, even though they don't really have the pieces to win now. Do you think they hire John Tortorella? A lot of people like the idea of hiring John Tortorella.
I wouldn't hate it. Honestly,
I'm not really a fan.
When I go through these kind of things with doing this for you guys the last few years, when they make moves like that, I'm like, whatever. Like, what do I know? Like, I'm always – I never really liked John Tortorella as a coach.
I was kind of the same about AV. I was, like, not really sold on him, but, like
– I liked the move,
but
I wasn't –
you know, the pedigree of as far as, like, oh, he's been to the Cup Finals a few times. He hasn't won, but he's a long-tenured NHL coach. So that was, like – kind of appealing, but then obviously how it worked out is not good.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to overthink a coaching hire. If they make one at this point, right now, I don't care because this core isn't ready. We don't have a core. So, like, whoever wants to come coach this shithole, go right ahead.
Dude, they have
give me a reason to watch on Tuesday and Thursday night because I don't have one right now.
It's Sean Couturier, Ivan Provorov. The Corps has moved on to the
Sean Couturier.
Yeah, Sean Backturier.
Shut up, Jeff.
Sean
Kevin Hayes injury Turier.
Yeah, Kevin Hayes is now part of the Corps.
Sean STP album Aurier.
Farabee is now part of the Corps. Konechny is part of the Corps. Provorov is part of the Corps.
Sean
but
Middle
you can't
of
win
Apple.
With this Corps, so you got to break it up.
Yeah, so
which is what we've been hearing for so long.
To put in context Atkinson's quote, he was asked, I guess the positive sentiment, the sentiment about people not like pointing fingers in the locker room, blaming players. And Atkinson said, I think it starts with practice. You practice how you play, especially when I turned pro. I learned that from John Tortorella. He was great in that aspect. And then he goes on to say, I think going into next year, we need to find a way to have some more grit, some more jam. More FU to our game.
Lavi, let's go back. You heard it here first.
Yeah, like that's been like
on
the
both
thing...
sides of the puck. In our crease, defending our goalie, and in their crease. I thought we were a pretty soft team this year, in my opinion.
Dave Isaac actually tweeted that.
Where have I heard that?
Lavi's coming back.
But the problem is, that was last year's narrative.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
went out and brought in a bunch of players not to be soft, and they continued being soft.
Maybe there's something wrong with the freezer. I don't know.
Boo.
That was a bad one. Yeah, I deserve that.
Boo. But about those Flyers, I mean, really.
So will Torts whip them into shape? Absolutely. I think that he's just enough of a dick that he would make everyone hate him. Will he last longer than three seasons? It doesn't really matter because none of the other Flyers coaches do anyway. So
that's exactly that's my point. It's like if the Flyers were like close to winning, I'd be like, maybe it's the move, but maybe it's not because I don't really like them. But it's like, who gives a shite?
A hoot.
Oh, sorry, Doyle. I didn't realize we were cursing on this podcast. Relax. That foul-mouth language. Put a bar of soap in your mouth, dirty boy.
Yeah, if there's any coach that I, like, kind of want them to hire, it would be Paul Maurice or Jim Montgomery.
Have you heard of Ken Hitchcock? Can we bring him back?
Other than, like, no, John Tortorella and Rick Tockett, I'm kind of just like,
but Rick Tockett is the guy we want so we can prove that we're over getting retreads.
Yeah, Rick Tockett, like, Rick obviously. Tockett just panders to the fan base so hard, it's not even funny.
Rick Tockett's in the Flyers Hall of Fame, so it makes total sense.
They're going to hire Hextall back as GM and have Rick Tockett as coach, and they're going to make Zach McHugh an assistant coach, and that's how you know this team is ready to win a cup. Speaking of assistant coaches that didn't deserve a job, a little segue. Apparently, Ian LaPerriere had something to say about the team recently. Did you guys see this?
I think it was
the
Phantoms?
His commentary on the Phantoms, yes.
Yeah, he said, like, some guys, like, were really showing their true colors and not... I'm editorializing here. But basically saying, like, they were playing like a bunch of pussies and everyone's watching.
Yeah, that the team quit.
Yeah, they quit on... And a lot of players have quit when they really should have, you know, pushed it to, like, you know, help the team out and, like, push themselves to be better. And he said, everyone's watching and everyone knows. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like, well, Lappy.
The Phantoms are like the kids from those old drug commercials where it's like, I learned it from watching you and just talking to the Flyer.
They're just like, well, fair enough. You're right. Just do meth. It's fine. It's good for you. Yeah. Makes you excited.
You guys gave up in January.
Listen.
At least we were in a playoff run.
If I did meth, this podcast
in a playoff run?
Would have been way more energized the last, I don't know, 5.5 months when the season
Phantoms
ended.
Phantoms had to send a bunch of players down on paper so they'd be eligible for the playoff run.
Quote,
as they
playoffs,
were
they were like, gee golly, we did this whole thing again. All that paperwork. I think their secretary's pissed. Like, I sent and faxed those 3 times, and they didn't make the goddamn playoffs. I took off on my son's birthday, and I had to come back in to fax those. I missed his little league baseball championship. I like to imagine that's the way it went down. Because there's people behind all these moves. People remember that. We're a people podcast. We love people. Anyway,
that's one thing to take away from this is that we love people.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't talk to us ever, please. So as this season ends, looking ahead, it is May 1st as of this recording, and the Flyers.
Yeah, see in 2.5 months.
We have to wait to see who they're going to draft. First of all, which draft pick they have, who they're going to draft, and also go into the end of the NHL season, seeing which players and coaches might leave their respective positions, not re-sign, but yada, yada, yada. And the Flyers will have free agency kickoff, obviously, this summer. And then trial on the aisle while beautiful boys take their shirts off and flex. And my favorite part of the year. And then I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about it. Honestly, felt cathartic to watch the end of that game on Friday, though, to bring it back around. And know that all those things are coming. not because I'm super excited about what the future holds. I just need to get this one done. It's like, you had a shitty day. It's over. Go to bed. We can finally put this season to bed and just like, all right, tomorrow might not be that great, but it has to be better, right? Because now our expectations have shifted. Now the franchise mindset has to shift. And I think I'm happy about that moving forward, as opposed to being this whole season expecting greatness when we predicted, all of us predicted 95 points or more as a team. And they didn't even, you know, they didn't break. They barely broke 60. So, am I wrong?
Well, no, I mean, you hope that next year the Flyers don't lose their two top centers and top defensemen shortly into the season.
Or my focus.
And then one gets shut down, or both, two get shut down permanently for the whole season, and one fights his way back too early and then re-hurts himself and has to go out again.
And he might win the Masterton.
He might win the Masterton, but I feel like that's a hollow victory considering everything else that happened.
Listen, that's all we have that's positive right now, Jeff.
They might win an award for me for being the most idiot franchise, am I right?
It's fine. As a lifelong Panthers fan, I'm geared up for this playoff run, so I'm very excited.
Well, when you insert this little, nope, not happening, nope.
I've been wearing my Giroux Panthers hat from
Chuck's. You've had a Peter Worrell jersey for Beck in 99. Shut up.
Big John
Pavel Bure fan over here.
Don't agree with his racism, but I agree
a spectrum of players, mentioning Peter Worrell and Pavel Bure in the same sentence. A goon and a scorer. Whatever.
I think Scott Mellenby was on the Panthers
Mellenby,
for a while.
Scott Mellenby, former Flyer.
Scott Mellenby. Great name. I feel like we all had a teacher named Mr. and Mrs. Mellenby. But, you know, it just happens. It's just a name. It's what you do. And now, before we end, do we want to give Lauren Hart Waves of the Week to anybody? I don't think we deserve it. We haven't done this
in months. Why would we bring it?
Because it's the last episode of the season, Doyle.
We should probably do Waves of the Season.
That's what I meant. Right?
What
yes.
Waves?
Yeah.
To who?
I think Doyle's right.
A tip of the hat of the season. M'lady of the season.
I think we should just end this episode and we should all go to the bar and get drunk.
I feel like you're going to do that anyway.
Well, regardless.
Drew's been trying to end this podcast since the first 10 minutes.
I've been trying to end this podcast since 3 years ago. What are you talking about? The pandemic happened, but wait a minute. I can actually have a happy life and not do this every Sunday? Who would have thought?
Drew's got a homepage to fix on our website.
No, I don't. I'm not fixing it, people. I don't care. Get it on Spotify or Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. I don't care.
We have shirts, Drew. Shirts and koozies.
Go to broadstreetboy.net/shop. It'll still take
the
homepage.
You got to fix the website.
Working.
Otherwise, they can't get to
we
it.
We can just make the shop the landing page, and then that solves the problem.
Do you know how hard your life is when you're fingers don't work, your hip don't work, your shoulder don't work, and your homepage don't load? It pretty much sucks, dude. This is worse than GeoCities days.
No, not GeoCities.
Yeah, more GeoCities.
How funny is it that Drew broke his finger making an error in the softball field earlier today?
All right, dude, I want to talk about it. The ball bounced off a... Guys,
Were you going to field the grounder? Like, what happened?
The ball bounced over my glove and hit me right straight in the finger. Look, it's so fat right now. Look at it.
And his fanga.
My fanga papet.
Fanga papet.
Usually I show these fingers and girls start, you know, creaming.
It looks like you can still bend it, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a top metatarsal.
He can't press anything on it, which is why he's complaining about clicking the mouse.
I'm not very impressed with my finger's pressing ability.
Yeah.
I mean, Doyle gave you it. Just use your middle finger to click the mouse.
Yeah, right here. Look at this one. Hey, the middle finger work for you, Jeff? How about that?
Yeah, now do that on the mouse.
Yeah, on the mouse.
Oh, you want me to fuck the mouse? What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Double click my taskbar.
I've had a pet mouse this whole time I didn't know about.
Your own personal scabbers.
You guys are idiots. Don't say scabbers. What, do you watch Harry Potter speaking with your wife? Shut up.
I read the books.
Oh yeah, you read. Now you read.
Turns out Scabbers was an inside agent.
Yeah, he was.
Now he reads.
Now I'm gonna be inside Scabbers. Guys, we're gonna
Jesus Christ.
We are going to I'm so sorry.
Giving the jabbers to Scabbers.
Oh my god.
We're going back to like episode 5 right now. someone sitting there in their truck driving going, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening. And if you didn't do it yet, make sure you use promo code BULLY at PhillyGoat.com. You get 10% off your entire order. That's PhillyGoat.com, promo code BULLY. Get some James Harden wear while the Sixers waddle their way out of the first round of the second round. They
the
beat
fact
the
that
Raptors.
They still let us read ads for them is...
Hey, man. Ryan at Philly Goat loves the content, and after this episode, he might not, but whatever.
If he feels a certain way about Scabbers.
I gotta stop.
So dumb.
I want to thank you guys all for listening. PhillyGoat.com, promo code Philly for checkout. Also, while I have you guys' attention, if we have any listeners near the Delaware era, Slatum season Delaware era. Non-sales tax. On Thursday, May 19th, I'm going to be down there.
That's a great Jizza impression.
Thank you very much. You know, Joel, I always appreciate you appreciating me. That's what I appreciate about you.
Thanks, Miss Katie.
No problem, Jeff. You know, I like to keep it cool and rationale when it comes to my references to Letterkenny, which, you know, like the Flyers season, it actually had more excitement and less time than the Letterkenny season because, you know, they suck really bad. I'm just going to bring it back around here. Thursday, May 19th, I am actually going to be in Delaware.
Yeah, he's going to be slaying MCs in the Rec Room era.
Yes. I'm going to be down there. I'm going to be at the Earl, little Blue Earl Brewery. Down there in Delaware. I'm pulling up there right now, so I don't forget and make sure I make it right. It's Thursday, May 19th at 7 o'clock. I'm on a great lineup, including a guy I know,
you
good
just
friend.
Missed a great opportunity to make May 19th, May 19.
Doyle, are you talking? Doyle, yeah, you act like I don't have it did. Already queued up. Doyle, I'm going to be at the Blue Earl Brewing Company down in lower Delaware. Headliner Joe Murdoch, winner of Philly's Funniest last year. Great joke writer. You know, he blocked me on Facebook once. It's fine. We're friends again. Co-headliner will be Keith DJK Purnell, who's been on Fox, BET, MTV, and Sirius. And then me. I'm going to be on that one as well. And I'm stretching my legs doing 20, 30 minutes, so that should be fun. Haven't done that time in a long time, and it should be good to get on stage. So if you're down in like near Smyrna, Delaware, look for tickets. It's comedy at the Blue Earl Brewing Company, or hit me up or DM the show because our website doesn't work, but at least our social media does. So that's on Thursday, May 19th. And for all of us here at the Broad Street Bully Podcast, it's time to bring it down real slow as we let you know we appreciate all you sticking out with us through this shit show of a season. Excuse my French. It's been fucking awful, but I appreciate all you guys. Some of you guys have reached out to us. Matt, Richie, all you guys like that reaching out, say, hey, we appreciate the show. We appreciate you, for real, because we could be at the bar right now getting drunk after softball, but we're here right now for you. You guys got anything else to say before we send this one off into the Fagan universe?
Did you already call the Uber?
No, but I'm about to. Wait, for what? I mean, I'm going to bed. I mean, it's Jeff, it's 2:21 on Sunday. I'm going to church.
Oh, correct.
May 19. May 19.
Yeah.
Bye, May Drew.
How is Doyle doing a better promo for your event than you are?
Because Daddy's been drinking since 9 o'clock this morning, Jeff. Shut the hell up.
He's been trying to drink all the teas so the kids don't.
Yeah, the kids keep drinking my teas.
Laughs rule everything around me.
May 19, come see Drew at the Earl.
See? Here's what he's doing.
Perform comedy.
No, for real, though. It'll be a good time. If you guys are anywhere near that, come fucking through. I will buy you a fucking beer and be like, yo, podcast friends. And then I'll act like I don't know you because I'm a big shot now.
I'll buy you a beer as long as it's on your tab.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get you a free water. It's on the house. It's on Pabsky. But seriously, guys, thank you so much for all the support this season. We'll be back at some point. To talk about the off season, which we've been talking about since I don't know January, and have a great rest of your week. Go Phillies, and most importantly, go Sixers.
Yeah, no, that's a whole nother thing that we didn't even talk about.
Just let it ride out.
is copyright stricken.
Sure looks good.
All right, goodbye.
Skate a little lower now.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.